If you could spend a moment with some remarkable people and discover what their life sounds like, what would you ask? Welcome to Are We On Air? An audio encounter. I'm Armand Nafei, and each episode will feature one conversation with an inspiring friend of mine who will share with us the soundtrack to their life. What's up, beautiful people? Good morning, live and direct from sunny Los Angeles, California, and straight to your ears. What an exciting week we've got for you. We are celebrating our fourth anniversary of Are We On Air and our very first exhibition at the Kioskotheque this Thursday, April 4th, 2024. And we are celebrating with a beautiful exhibition with none other than the late iconic artist slash fashion illustrator and overall bon vivant Antonio Lopez. I'm so thrilled, as some of you might have seen me post Antonio's photos and artworks over the years, as his overall vibe has always resonated with me and it's been part of my mood board ever since. Et voilà! Thanks to the Danziger Gallery and the Antonio Archives, we've managed to organize a small show of beautiful, original Kodak Instamatics featuring images of Grace Jones, Jerry Hall, Pat Cleveland, Tina Chow, and many more. Yes, you heard me right. An exhibition on the street. I guess we're also a mini museum now. So how fitting that this week's guest is a modern version of one of those supermodels of a bygone era. It is my very dear friend, hailing from Stockholm, Sweden, my beloved Hoskinator, aka the model and designer Elsa Hosk. Elsa and I got together at her recently beautifully renovated Richa Neutra house in Los Angeles to talk about our shared love of all things from the past, from growing up in Stockholm to her love of mid-century design and her love of 60s and 70s rock and roll, all the way to sharing her knowledge and her roadmap on creating your own brand, in her case, her beautiful fashion label, Helsa. And of course, we had to talk about what it was like being the face of Victoria's Secrets for so long and what life was like supermodeling in your 20s in New York City. So much love, so much joy, and I'm also grateful to share it with you all. As always, you can keep up to date with our programming at the Kioskotheque on our IG. And I highly recommend you do, as there's lots of amazing things happening over the next few months, all live from the street to your eyes and ears. And if you haven't already, then don't forget to watch the full video interviews on our YouTube and Spotify channels. Yes, these interviews and the behind the scenes are on video. And the full playlist, as always, including Elsa's, are available on our Spotify and Apple channels. Everything available at Are We On Air? Are We On Air? Alrighty, let's go disco. Welcome to Are We On Air, Elsa Hogg.
Thank you. Welcome to my house, actually.
Welcome to Are We On Air. Welcome to the Hoskinator's beautiful home.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be here, finally.
I'm very happy to be here. This is...
I'm sure you are.
I'm a homebody, so this is perfect for me. Well, this is very long overdue, actually.
Long overdue. Yes. We're basically
we
family.
We tried to do this during the pandemic.
Correct. Thank God it didn't work.
Fucked it up.
No, Max did.
Max fucked it up. Someone fucked it up, and here we are.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I always believe this always happens for a reason.
Totally.
Thank God we didn't do it back then. What a waste it would have been.
Yeah.
We have so much more to talk about now. Plus, we're in your beautiful home, which was, even back then, not part of the plan.
No,
it wasn't. Still in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. It was literally the pandemic. Everything happened so fast. We bought this house. We moved to LA. And we had a kid. So much has happened.
And the cats are gone.
I know.
The poor cats. Poor cats.
Oh, miss them.
I know.
Everybody always asks me about the cats.
Really?
Like, on my Instagram. Yeah. Because I feel like they were part of my like Instagram life for so long. Like,
yeah.
I would always Instagram them, like cuddling, and they were so cute and like photogenic. And now, obviously, we were renovating this house and they couldn't be here because we were in the guest house. Someone that works for us is allergic, and we had to sadly relocate them, and the plan was always to get them back. So hopefully
one day
soon.
Hopefully one day they will find their way back.
Yeah. Run, stray cats. No, these cats cannot be in the wild. They're so not made for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm very honored that we're in your beautiful Nutra house.
Thank you.
First glimpse, and I'm super proud of you. Lots of work took you forever.
Oh my God, and still not ready.
And still not ready, yeah. I mean, it's story of my life. Yeah. It's like, it's 80% there.
I would say it's 50. Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, are you in the house yet? And I'm like, we are in the house, but it's not ready. So we have still the yard, the guest house, the pool area. There's a lot of areas that haven't been finished yet. But
we got the most important piece, which is this beautiful Dieter Rams Braun Wandanlage.
Totally. And thank you for that. You helped for that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, we always wanted one. Or I always wanted one.
I was wanting one too. I bought on your behalf.
Well, you come over and you listen to your records here and... It's great.
Yeah,
it's
we've been talking about it for a while, and it's hard to source it, of course.
I was looking at eBay. We were looking everywhere, and, you know, obviously it was so complicated to install it too because it's from Europe and all the wires in the wall. I think we had 3 guys for 2 days or maybe more. And then the other night, Tom woke up and woke me up at 4 a.m. and was like, wake up, there's a bird in the living room. And I was like, what? Like, so awake. I get up. And he's like, I need your help. And I'm like, okay. And I could hear it. It was like, and like, you know how birds, like when they breathe, they have this like, like this. And it sounded exactly like a bird. So in the middle of the night, we open all the like window sliders. We run around and I'm like, wait a second. Have you actually seen the bird? And he's like, no, but it's in there. It's in the machine. And I'm like, it's in the machine. And I'm like so pissed because it's 4 a.m. And I go up to the machine and it's literally sounds like it's a bird in there. But it was like a setting that was wrong. So it's like, That will happen with it.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it comes with a patina. It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all part of the charm of living with objects from, you know,
from the past, which we love.
We love.
We love things from the past. That's our
share. Everything in here is from the past.
Exactly. Everything, including us.
It's true. We're old.
Yeah, we're old. Yeah, we share a love for interiors and architecture. And of course, you have this beautiful space and a thing for interiors. Where did this love for interiors come from? Who is your favorite interior designer, architect, whatever you want to share with us?
I think my love for architecture and interior was always part of my like growing up. And my dad was really into buildings and especially things from the 50s because I think he was nostalgic because that was when he grew up. So he would like take us around the neighborhoods and show us, you know, funky style and like, you know, it was always like the buildings.
This is back in Sweden.
And there were all these buildings that were very like straight lines and it was called funkis. And that was what he was into. And I never understood it as a kid. I was like, why would you want to live in this box? You know, that's very like boring. Yeah. But all of that, I think it's funny how things come around when you get older and you start to take interest in the things that your parents like taught you early on. So I don't know. I think when I was like around 20, I started really feeling like, that was my passion, collecting furniture and learning about, you know, interior design and, you know, architecture. And then we moved to California and I just knew I wanted the quintessential, you know, Los Angeles, 1950s, like feels like you're living in a movie, like the big, like it's so sexy in a way and it's so iconic. And then this Richard Neutra case study house was on the market and we went to see it and we fell in love like the second we came in here. But it was also an energy. It was like, I don't know, it's something about old objects that I really love because you feel like there's a history attached to it. And I'm so sensitive to energy. Like I feel even like a piece of vintage clothing that had a life before you or like multiple lives, like I can feel it all and I like it because it becomes part of me. So the energy that I felt walking into this house was overwhelmingly positive. Like I could feel like kids running around. I could feel parties that have been had. And then later on we met with the owner. After we had bought the house, we wrote her a letter and we said, thank you so much for selling us this house. And she came over and she told us like some of the stories about this house. And I just started crying because we shared so much personal history of, you know, addiction and recovery and just like everything in these walls. And she was like, oh, if these walls could speak. And I was like, what do you mean? And she told us like everything that went on in here.
Oh, wow.
And you know, we both started crying because I was like, she didn't know anything about me. And it was so, I don't know, we were so connected. And she also had her first kid moving in here. And then I gave birth to Thule in the bedroom. So, oh, wow. Yeah. So a lot
of generational storyline.
Totally. Yeah.
But did you know it was a neutral house when you first came to look? You were looking particular for a neutral house or architectural houses?
Yeah, we were looking for houses that were, you know, built by architects that we liked, you know. I don't think we fully understood what it meant owning a neutral house.
Why? So, what does it own? What does it mean?
Well, you know, when I first bought this house, we were like, let's change this, let's build this, you know, and then you start meeting other people that own architecturally significant homes and learning from people. And like, there's such a little community of nerds and people are so like specific in what you should do, what you shouldn't do. And also after having lived here for a couple of years, you start to understand that there's really nothing you should change about these homes. Everything's perfect, which is weird to say, but everything is built with such thought and it's very different from how I feel houses are built today. Like everything has a function. They're very small, these homes, but you use every space and how they were intended. About so many things, like letters that Neutra had written. Even the hallway was pushed to be a little bigger so that kids could play there. And that's exactly how Thule plays on the terrazzo in the hallway. And I don't know, it's just so many things that are perfect and that doesn't need to be touched or made better because they're already great.
Well, the timelessness is what, mid-century, what makes it, especially the Scandi mid-century. Talking about Thule, let's talk about your childhood. What were you listening back then?
Oh my God, the radio was the biggest thing for me. I remember having the station in my room. My dad, we lived in a house in Bromma, which is a suburb of Stockholm. Mm-hmm. And there was only two rooms upstairs. So he built me a room like over the staircase. And my bed was over the staircase. And then I had the little hallway that was like actually a little hallway. That was my room. And I had a radio. And because my dad was really into 60s, 70s rock and folk, that was what I was into. I was really influenced by him. He used to be a disc jockey in the 70s. So he had a ton of records. He would have like listening sessions and would listen and like he would tell us the artist and we would look at the album covers. He had this prized collection that was a lot of like first editions and that he had collected since he was a teenager. So
maybe you can get some here.
Totally. I'm happy you'd give them to me. But so I listened to that and then that was my influence. So I would listen to the radio. There's this one TV or radio station that was very focused on 50s, 60s and 70s. So I listened to that every day coming home from school. So I started learning all the artists that were popular in the 60s and 70s. And I think I'm still kind of stuck there, to be honest. Like that became my like music foundation. Yes. And then I had a really hard time kind of getting into like new pop music because I was missing this like authentic feel where you could hear the instruments and the real like the raspiness of the voices and like all the, you know, I don't know, it was just different back then.
Yeah.
So that kind of became my foundation. But yeah, I just learned all those songs like in and out because on the radio it's the same songs.
Over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned all the lyrics, all the artists. It just, that was it.
And which track shall we play?
Well, I had to choose something from the Beatles or George Harrison would be My Sweet Lord. I think that's one of the songs that, you know, I could still listen to today and feel like it's inspiring and totally. Such a beautiful song. And, you know, spiritually too, I feel really connected to it. And I think everyone can feel the connection to that song. It feels timeless. Really wanna see you. Really wanna see you, Lord.
Well, from supermodel stardom to interior designer, now fashion designer.
I mean, we've seen a lot of collections or labels and brands that come out of well-known personalities, influencers, pop stars and so forth. But I think you really nailed it with Helsa.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. So I've seen like behind the scenes, right? Obviously, we're family. So I've seen the process where this idea... And then suddenly, oh, there's a logo. Suddenly the first designs, the first Instagram, you know, and I just see the development and how it's organically growing so fast and so well, like in a good pace. Also, what kind of women are following you? What kind of women are wearing you? It's kind of interesting. And I just want to understand and learn from the idea. Where did it start? Where did the name Helsa come from? And what is Helsa? And where is it going to go?
Ooh. Thank you, first of all, for all those beautiful compliments. I was always into fashion, like for as long as I can remember. We didn't have a lot of money, so I was kind of forced to go to the vintage store, which wasn't cool back then, like in the 90s or early 2000s when I was a teenager. I would go to Myrona, it was called. It was like a shitty vintage store, kind of like Salvation Army. And I would buy like vintage Levi's or buy things that I could then alter at home. You know, I would steal like a Vogue magazine from the one cool girl in school that her mom had a subscription, and I would show it to my mom and be like, can we make this? And she would sew it. Aww. So I would show up to school in all these like crazy outfits that nobody understood. So I felt like I always had this like love for fashion, even before I was a model, which happened really quickly in my life. Like I started working when I was 13.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So when I was like 12, I probably started getting into fashion. And then obviously I was thrown into this world of fashion through being a model, and I was traveling all over. And that also was like a second introduction. So it was like deepening my love for fashion. So I felt like I always had, the path was always for me to be a creative. I think modeling was never my end goal. Like that's something that happened to me. And I tried to learn as much as I could by speaking to designers, learning from stylists, like just
how they
watching
put
everybody at work and just like soaking it all up and learning. And then when COVID hit many years later, there was this empty space, which for the first time I felt like I had time to think about starting my own line or, you know, doing something for myself that I really wanted to do. And it was the perfect time because I got approached by, you know, a company out in LA who really wanted to create a line with me. And I said, let's do it. So, yeah, the idea was born, and then Thule was born, and then Helsa was born. So it was kind
second
of all
child
at the same time happening. And yeah, I'm so grateful for the feedback and for the, you know, the girls wearing it. And I'm truly designing it for myself. I think that's
why it works as well.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just doing pieces that I want to wear and that I feel like is empowering to me and that I want to keep in my closet forever. I've never been one to go for fast trends. You know, my mom has always been that influence of materials first, really looking at the label and seeing if this is something that's going to last. And she always had that Swedish like organicness to her. Like she never wore makeup, and she's a big influence also on Helsa. But I think Helsa is also kind of like a diary for me, like what I'm into, my life. Like I'm taking inspiration from everywhere, like architecture, art, music, you know, different periods of my life, like a feeling, because that's how I get dressed in the morning. Like it's like clothes to me is like armor. It's what I put on to feel a certain way. It could be a different character every day. So I think Helsa could also be like a little bit all over the place, because I feel like I have all these characters that I'm rotating. So that's why I came up with the idea of doing drops rather than collections. So each collection is sort of like a piece of me or a piece of like a chapter in my diary, sort of.
Is there going to be a Helsa physical store? Or?
I hope so. I hope so. I'm just taking it kind of, you know, I'm doing.
We can start in the kiosk.
We can have a little rack there.
Yeah.
People can try it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is tough because it's only sold. I have an exclusive deal with Forward and Revolve for 3 years. So right now we're selling through Forward and Revolve, and then hopefully one day we'll expand and do stores. And but it's something I feel like I'm so like busy, it's hard to even think about the future because, you know, I am so involved in Helsa and I'm always involved in anything I decide to do. And I think that's really important and maybe a reason why it's working. I could never just put my name on something and have someone else do it. So I'm literally there picking every button for every shirt, every pant, looking at the stitches, picking the fabrics, like even doing the drawings. Thinking about the future is really overwhelming because I'm like so in the moment when I'm doing the clothes and the campaigns and the art direction. So I don't know, but I have big plans.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's why you're the host.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad nickname.
It's a great thing. I like the Hoskinator. Yeah, in the moment, in the now, that's definitely who you are. You once described me that. It's like when Tom asked you, how would you describe Armand? And you were like, oh, he's someone who's in the moment. And I was like, that's another thing that connects us.
I think we're similar in the way that we're very like nostalgic and connected to the past, and we're inspired by like old days because we're dreamers. Yeah, like a nostalgic view on life. Like I'm always drawn to the things of the past, but I still am very like in the moment in life. Mm-hmm. Like I can't do two things at the same time. I'm bad at that. I like to just focus on one thing.
Yeah. That's why it's hard to get your attention when you focus on your phone. What song shall we play that defines Helsa?
Oh.
How would you describe yourself? Helsa Hosk. Mm-hmm. Who's Helsa Hosk, a.k.a. Helsa, in three songs?
Oh, three songs to describe me. I would say right at this moment, I feel very 9 to 5 Dolly Parton.
Oh, you are. The Hoskinator's back.
Because I'm always working.
Yeah.
And then I come home and I'm a mom. And I love that song. I love Dolly. I think she's absolutely amazing. I've never seen her live, but she's one of the artists that I would love to see live. Does she still
perform? Yeah.
Perform? She does, right?
Yeah. She's still out and about.
I love her. I love what she's about. I love her as a woman. I love her music. I love her early music. The Coat of Many Colors.
Yes, I love that song. Yeah.
Love that song.
How fitting.
Yeah.
That's it was her mom, right?
Who would and it's a story about you're wealthy in love and not in money. And I think that's such a good lesson for all of us.
My coat of many colors that my mama made for me. Made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, why was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors my mama made for me.
But yes, 9 to 5. I love that song. It's my life.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm always working, but I love working. I love it so much.
Yeah, you are definitely a hustler.
I'm a hustler. Yeah.
Second song.
Probably like Patti Smith, something more grungy, like Dancing Barefoot. I love that song too.
We love Patti.
Yeah, I love Patti Smith. I think she describes like an era of my life where, not at this moment, but when I was younger, you know, the addiction part, but also like there's something positive about that song. It's like a happy, sad, fucked up song. Mm. And I just love that. I connect to it so much. Like all her songs I connect to. That rock and roll, like, don't give a fuck, but I'm like free and just that whole thing.
It's you.
Not me now, but it used to be.
Let's not go there. You know,
yeah, but I love listening. Some music I can't listen to
really?
From when I was,
because it just takes you back to
Like really dark stuff. Yeah, I don't think Yeah, but that Patty is like someone I can still listen to and feel like inspired, because it's like there's a happiness there and there's a joy and there's like a...
I'm surprised you have the Velvet Underground here.
That's hard, kind of, I can't really listen to that.
Yeah.
Like Nico, the... Yeah. Oh, that's like, oh, the dark times.
Yeah. It's a sweet darkness, let's put that way, but it's,
But it's like, you know, it's who you identify with the time, and it's all part of your music journey, I guess. Yeah.
It's the soundtrack to your life.
Yeah. It's really like such a nice podcast for that reason, like getting to know people through music. I think that's...
Wait, are you saying Are We On Air your favorite podcast? Yeah.
Of course it is, my love. 100%. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the third song would be something by Fleetwood Mac, probably Rhiannon. Such a great song. Just
timeless.
Could listen to it every day in the car. Just love the freedom and the joy and...
Top down the PCH.
Exactly. Let's go.
Let's go. Favorite architect / interior designer?
You know, this house, I was focusing on mid-century modern, sort of the icons, because I feel like we tried to make it a little fun in the beginning and it didn't do justice to the house. I feel like you go through phases of doing things, and I've kind of landed on like the icons of the 50s, you know, Charlotte Perriand, Pierre Chopo, John Povey, Pierre Jeanneret, Akari sculptures, light sculptures from Noguchi, Alvar Aalto, the 50s icons. And there's something that goes with the house. My favorite is Charlotte Perriand. I love her furniture so much.
Let's get some more Charlotte.
Yeah. I'm always looking at all the auctions.
If anybody wants to sell some, you're a guaranteed buyer.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we have to talk about modeling as well, because I'm sure that all of you out there are curious to hear about Elta's modeling career, being a Victoria's Secret angel, done a gazillion things. I mean, who knows what... I'm looking at the Vogue cover there with Thule, super cute highlight
sure.
I mean, we're family, so I don't look at you as the model Elsa Hosk, right? And also...
Me neither.
But you also kind of developed in terms of what you do and who you are. I mean, we all move on. Not move on, but, you know, evolution, not revolution, right? Yeah. How do you look back at that time? Like, let's say, a good, solid, powerful 10 years New York City supermodel life.
You're right. It's been kind of... It was kind of 10 years of... I moved to New York when I was 19 and I got sober when I was 20. My career before that was 13 to 19, which was in Europe. So I would travel around Europe and I lived in Paris for a while. And it was mostly like not like significant things. And then being sober and so insecure and like relearning like who I was and trying to like put on this facade of a cool girl in New York and like confident, and I was anything but. And I remember going to a casting for Victoria's Secret Pink. And I was really into fashion. So I was wearing like a really cool outfit. I was wearing Isabel Marant. I still remember this to this day because the art director was really into fashion too. And she, Isabel Marant was like the cool brand to wear. And there was no stores in New York yet. So you would have to go to Paris to get it. And she was like, wow, like you're cool. And I was like, she gets it. And she was like, she gets it. And then she booked me, and that was my first like shot at anything in New York. And I just remember like dancing all day, being like putting up this like persona of like just like full on energy, trying to, you know, get booked again. I remember she like sent an email to my agent saying like, oh my god, she was like full of energy, she was dancing all day, like loud music, like jumping in the pictures, because it was all like that era where it was like woo, like, you know, like jumping. And I didn't know who I was, so I think I was a really good actress. It was like beneficial, I guess, to my career at the time, because I never really was that Victoria's Secret girl, but I was playing the character really well. So then I was doing Pink for so many years, and then I sort of graduated to Victoria's Secret, you know, I still look back on those days like it was great. It was amazing. I'm so grateful, you know, but it was never like, it was never me.
Yeah.
I was never that girl wearing the push-up bra and like, you know, like smiling or... So, yeah, I mean, I'm so happy. I'm so grateful. And I have so many amazing memories. I think what I take away mostly is like the work ethic and just like showing up and killing it and just like doing a great job. And this time was, you know, it was all about being professional and like working out and like having that like in your back. You know, just like so
I remember
strict.
When we were working out together.
Are you dying?
Remember when you were from New York?
No, but you're really fit. I remember you being really strong.
I know, but still, I'm like,
Oh, in the apartment.
Yeah, yeah. But
oh
my god, Victoria's I used to Secret do these workouts. I'm like, oh my god,
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, that's so funny. But yeah, I'm really grateful for that time, and you know, obviously. Had so many beautiful moments and working with different designers and traveling to so many amazing places. And also it led me to this moment where I am now. And I think a lot of people struggle with comparing yourself or not sure what path you should be on as an artist or as a creative in this industry. And I think when you have a little bit of success, you grow that confidence. And then a natural step after that is to like, fully like go on your path. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I am now. I'm like doing what I want to do and you know, on my terms.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, super proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, it takes a long time.
It takes a long time.
You know, it takes a long time to trust that you're good the way you are and like you're not comparing yourself to anyone.
Yeah.
Especially in a creative industry. You're always comparing yourself to the people that are successful and like you always want to do what someone else is doing. It's really about doing you. It sounds so cliche, but yeah.
Oh, 100% agree. And I love when Tom and I have this conversation with your hubby because he always reiterates that to me and I know it's coming from you. I'm like, sure, okay, thanks.
He always takes my thing and he makes them his, but I love that about him. He's like, so good at that, like soaking like things, learning from others. I'm such a loner. I just like have to learn by doing it myself. But it's true. I think everyone is to a certain extent. You can hear all these things, but you have to experience it yourself.
Let's talk about social media for a second, because I have so many acquaintances who follow you, who love you. Aww. You're kind of like a mood board, kind of in a way, for a lot of people. How do you go on about curating your page? Is there a specific way, thinking, strategy? What
I think, again, it's just doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Like whenever I try to jump on a trend, like for example, something that's not you. Like for example, I never got on TikTok because I felt like it was like at the time people were doing the dances and it's so not me. Yeah. I felt so ridiculous if I were to do that. So I just kind of stuck with Instagram and I was like, this is what I like, you know, just... I'm pretty casual about it. I don't really plan posts or content unless I'm working with a brand. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just kind of very authentic to me what I post. And I'm also not very good at talking on Instagram. Like I never talk.
Yeah.
I never like give advice or talk or do anything.
So this is an exclusive?
Yeah, I've never actually done a podcast. This is my very first time doing a podcast.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I always say no, but I obviously love you. You're a dear friend of mine. We're family. So I feel comfortable with you.
Yeah.
Like, this is like easy and it's comfortable and cool.
I'm here to challenge you. I'm here not Gacha TV. By the way, we are on TikTok at Are We On Air.
What do you post on there?
The same, pretty much the same content we have on Instagram.
Yeah,
just
that's
more TikTok
what people
feed.
Say. Like,
I'm not
going to
start dancing.
Things.
I know people want to see me dancing, but that's for the special moments only.
Yeah. Well, you totally should.
Yeah.
Because you're a great dancer.
Mm-hmm. You're getting ready for a night out?
Yeah.
There are very few nights that you have these days.
Actually, I've had quite a few.
Yes, you did.
In the coming
a
night.
Of things, yeah.
Yeah.
You came to our pop-up opening. Well, not pop-up.
Well, it's been Oscar week, so
Oscar
I feel like
week,
there's a
lots
lot
of things
happening.
You look pretty dope every night.
Thank you. It's fun. It's fun to get dressed up. I mean, that's always the best part. And then seeing friends, you know. That's...
Well, you're listening when you get ready. Do you listen to music when you're ready?
No, I mean, I feel like nowadays getting ready is like,
work like quick.
Tuli wants something, like I'm like throwing on some mascara, like, you know, I'm picking up my outfits at the office because I don't have time when I get home. So, you know, we will play a record.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that you're gonna come because in and
it's
just playing.
Again, it's like so nostalgic to when I grew up and like my parents would do that.
Mm.
So I think we'll just throw on any record that's like on top of the pile.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Which I have get into the mood.
I don't know. It's more like back to the classic rock for me.
For sure.
To feel like cool and like that I'm back, you know, because like you need a little help when you're a mom.
I'm still
you know?
Here.
Yeah. You need a little help to bring you back to life.
Talking about home and family, what's your go-to falling in love or heartbreak song?
Oh, I don't know if this is a heartbreak song, but I really, it makes me feel like it's a heartbreak. Leonard Cohen, Suzanne. Mm. Is that a heartbreak song?
Yeah.
Oh, just love. Like, what a beautiful song. It's sad, but it's like, I feel like I can relate to it, and it's one of my favorite songs. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I love Leonard Cohen.
Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night beside her. And you know that she's half crazy. But that's why you wanna be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell
this last concert series, I think it was 2010 or something.
Mm.
I think I had the opportunity to go to one of his concerts, and for some reason I didn't go. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And of course he passed away like a year or two later.
So sad.
I know. Anyway, so go see the people you want to see, especially when they're older, because who knows?
Yeah, well, I did that with Bob Dylan and it wasn't worth it. some people, though, you do want to remember through like the memories. If it's not the same anymore, it's kind of...
I know. I had that with Charles Aznavour at Madison Square Garden. I took... Shout out to Julia Hoytfeldt, hi. And we went together to see Charles Aznavour at Madison Square Garden, and he was already in his late 80s.
Yeah.
And he was so far away. He saw a little old man and his, you know, Mike, super far away, but still...
Yeah.
It was fucking Aznavour, you know, and it was beautiful and incredible.
It is really cool.
But, of course, it wasn't him in his prime, right?
No.
And I got to see him and have that image of this little man far away. <in Madison Square Garden.
laughs> We went to chair together.
Oh, yeah, we did.
That was really fun. Yeah.
You
that was really
share,
fun.
Yeah.
Do you believe?
But even that, I mean,
oh, wow, she was
she's
great.
Greatest hits.
She was great.
Karaoke, basically.
I mean, she's an icon.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants.
She can do whatever she wants, yeah.
We've done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We also did a car ride together for something like Facebook or Instagram.
From
or something.
Instagram.
So hard for the money.
I don't know, maybe I deleted it.
What's the sexiest song?
Al Green.
Mm, I think you have some Al Green.
Love and Happiness. My favorite. Oh, his voice, the vibes. So good.
Love and Happiness. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, talking about how she can make it right, yeah, happiness is when.
I think I bought you that record. Really,
oh, you did?
Yeah.
That whole, I mean, record is amazing.
Him I'd love to interview, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's his name? The producer. Oh, did you see that documentary, The Greatest Night in Pop?
Yes, amazing. Hey, oh, you're Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones.
Yeah, of course. You yeah, I've been
is
trying.
He still alive?
Quincy, yeah, he's still alive. And I'd
you
love
need
to
get Quincy.
I met him once, and Thomas Hayo took a picture of us together.
Oh, that's cool.
And he, no, but
you couldn't see it.
It was a busy vendor show. It was like a couple of years ago. And you just see me like, and like he's moving out of the picture.
Yeah, he's like,
hey,
you're like,
Quincy, I love
yeah. That's funny.
So Quincy, if you see this, please come on the pod.
I'm well, sure Quincy will listen to my episode.
Yeah, he'll be sitting home. Cool. Well, to wrap up our little chat, which has been fun as always. If your life would be a movie, what song would play in the end credits?
Now I have to think about like what's the movie about,
oh,
what chapter. But in general, like a song that I love and that I always loved is Diamonds and Rust by Joan Baez. I love that song.
I Got You Drawn By Us as well.
I like that song because it's so emotional. I think it would be really beautiful playing in the credits.
Well, I'll be damned. Here comes your ghost again. And here I sit, and on the telephone, hearing a voice I'd known.
Another one that I feel would fit into a movie would be Some Velvet Morning with Lee Hazlewood and Nancy Sinatra.
Well, Hoskinator, aka Elsa, aka Elsa Hosk. Thank you for being on air with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy this chat, Armin.
Pleasure.
Ciao. Some bells.